B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Once again, from the Town Fair Tire Studio, Felger and Maz, 98.5, a Sports Hub simulcast across this great land of ours on NBC Sports Boston. No Mike, no Maz today and the rest of this week. Jim Murray, Adam Jones in for the guys. Marshall Hook over in my normal spot and you, 617-779-0985. Talk mostly Patriots in the first hour. Spent a lot of time with the Celtics in hour number two. Talked a little bit about the tournament. You had Selection Sunday yesterday. Quickly, what are people bitching about? Where Kansas was seeded?
No. I think everybody's complaining about Michigan State, if I'm not mistaken. Is that what it is, where they're in the same bracket as Duke? Which I think screws Duke more than anybody.
See, now, overall, I kind of don't care, but what I like is that there's already crying. That's the one thing I truly love more than anything else about the tournament. It's the crying and the whining.
Yeah, that's what I thought you liked about it. Like, yeah. I enjoyed so much rooting against Sister Jean last year. That was, like, my favorite thing.
I liked the Sister Jean angle.
That was you truly at your darkest.
That's the lowest of low Jones.
She picked against them. She didn't even pick them. She picked against them in, like, the Sweet 16. She only had him in the Sweet 16. So what does she know? I was so against her last year. That's the best. That's why the tournament's great. I'll root like hell against Syracuse. I'll never root for Coach K. I like Zion. I've liked some players who have gone through Duke over the years. I will never root for Coach K. Like, yeah. And then, you know, any baby fan, like all the Michigan State fans, I like Izzo and I like that program generally.
But being giant babies
about this, I'll root against them too.
Do you tear up a little bit during the one shining moment at the end of the whole thing? They're cutting down the nets.
I do. I gotta be honest, I do like one shining moment. They should go back to the old. Who was the old version? It's like Jennifer Hudson now. Is it Luther Vandross? Who was the old version?
I couldn't possibly care less. But
they should go back to that. Is what I would say.
It could come on. I could have watched nothing and I got nope. Sorry.
I do like. I'm a sucker for one shining moment. I'll admit that.
But overall, yeah, it's kind of like wallpaper to me. It's on. I'll kind of pay attention, but I'm just really there for the sports shot and for to drink in the tears of others. But I will pay attention to Duke, and it's because of Zion Williamson, Dylan in Fall River, on that very player. You're next here on Felger and Maz. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, man. So I think the craziest thing about Zion is when he comes into the league, he's basically going to be a top five athletic freak when he gets into the league. Never mind once he develops and gets older. And I like to compare him to Giannis in the sense that his athleticism is going to be better than most guys he goes up against. If he can develop any kind of jump shot, you got to watch out because that kid's going to be something else. Thank you.
Thanks, Dylan. Do you think that there's going to be any kind of, I don't know, like how it was with when they rigged it so that the Knicks could end up getting...
Like, yes, I'm worried about that. Yeah.
You are?
Yes.
Okay.
But do you... So I have a...
Patrick Ewing is...
Yeah, I have a buddy, a Knicks fan, and this is just one random guy, but I was talking about this with him over the weekend, that he's like, I'd rather have Zion than Anthony Davis. He's like, I want Zion with Kyrie and with Kevin Durant. Like,
well,
there's
an injury concern with Anthony Davis. That's
100%.
One of the reasons that I've always been like, excellent player. You know, that's a big man that has an incredible skill set. But he's had a lot of like feet and ankle things since he's come into the league.
Totally. And if you think Zion truly is generational, and I've come around on that, I do. Then I understand that. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I understand that. I am a little worried about just how much the human body can handle. Like, there's a reason people aren't built like him, you know, and it's always bigger, faster, stronger. I get that. But like, you wonder if his body can like withstand like blowing out his shoe, right? Like, you wonder.
Well, it's like the Yao Ming thing. Like, you can't sustain that with that size. If you're that size of a human being.
Like, right. Like, just can he be that athletic at that size? Like, is that sustaining or is he just going to constantly be hurt because he's too much of a freak? Like, that's one thing that would scare me with him, the shooting a little bit, but everything else I love.
Cam in Taunton with the thought of the day. Hey, Cam.
Hey, Jim, congratulations. You are now officially the worst fan in sports, which is the guy who just randomly chooses, I'm a Duke fan. With, you know, you didn't go there. You have no family who went there. You're not from Durham. You're just a Duke fan because you're a Duke fan.
You need to get, like, a Leitner jersey. Yeah. To, like, really lay it on thick. Like, a Leitner jersey. And, like, a headband.
Those are the worst fans in sports. Jim, I'm just busting your balls.
No, stand by it.
It is pretty gross when you say it. When you put it that way, it's pretty disgusting. You're right to call me out for
that. You're bitching at refs. The NCAA is not to screw us. All stuff like that. All those On Isaiah Thomas, I mean, look, I love what the guy did here. Again, he made the team relevant again. But the fact that he acted like such a bitch on his way out the door has now ruined your reputation. Look at what Anthony Davis' father said in that text. He made you look like you're a bunch of backstabbing, conniving a-holes with his, I mean, give him the ovation. But, I mean, if that winds up costing you Anthony Davis, I'll hold that against him forever, acting like such a jilted lover on his way out the door.
Thanks, Cam. Well, so he would cheer for him, but I don't, like, I guess.
It's his fault he acted jilted on the way out. They treated him like yesterday's trash.
I still don't know what was he supposed to do. What was he supposed to thank Boston for what? Letting him ruin his knee and you know, what? Walk away from his sister's funeral to come here and play in the postseason? To do more than any athlete on this Celtics team has done since then? Probably before then for a long time. What was he supposed to do? What was the reaction supposed to be when they tossed him? And again, I stand by the business decision. And I think logically anyone does, even by the way, Isaiah Thomas. That doesn't mean he has to like it. Like, you can get fired from your job and you can say, well, I look at it and I understand the company needs to cut some money. And so they're getting, you can look at it logically and understand. That doesn't mean you're supposed to like
right.
it. That doesn't mean you're supposed to thank them on the way out the door.
So Isaiah had some qualities that, and you've identified them. Like, there were some things that he said that were cringeworthy for sure. Like, the whole video thing last year was awful. And
yeah.
I like Isaiah, but like, caring so much about that video was just, you couldn't support him for that. I don't hold against him feeling jilted on the way out the door. Like, that's how the Celtics treat it. If that comes back to bite the Celtics, it's not because of how Isaiah acted. It's because of how the Celtics acted.
Wayne in Yarmouth on the Celtics. Go ahead. You're next here on Felger and Maz with Murray and Jones. Hello.
Yeah, you guys were, of course, talking about defense. And overall, these Celtics just suffer from long defensive lulls. And I think it's a continuation of attitude troubles among the team. And defense usually suffers, and guys become laggards. And I think we have four or five guys who do that. And it's been even worse since the All-Star break. And I lay this on, unfortunately, Stevens, because he's not drilling these guys when they make a lot of mistakes on defense.
Thanks for the call, Wayne. A lot of it, I mean, throughout most of the season, a lot of it, I think, is tied to whether or not their shots drop. You know, like,
right.
Especially when it comes to, like, Tatum and Brown. When you've seen them at their defensive worst this season, it's because they're having a bad offensive night. You see the slump shoulders.
They hang their head.
Yeah.
Tatum, you guys have been all over Tatum for this, and Kyrie does this too. You know, like, go to the basket, you know, get the contact, crying about the foul, running back down. And
since Tatum came into the league, it's been an issue. It's the one thing that drives me absolutely nuts about him.
But just that, and while you're arguing with the ref getting back, you're getting beat. Like, it's it's 5-on-4, and they give up a lot of easy layups because of that. So, yeah, the slump shoulders, the hanging heads, the bitching to the officials, like, they're not and have not been locked in at that end of the floor at all. That's true.
Let's go to Will in New Hampshire as a thought on Isaiah Thomas. Go ahead, Will.
I do not understand why anybody cares about this Napoleonic knucklehead coming back into town. It is not. He is an oddity. He is the reason that circuses existed, because you have Muggsy Bogues and Spud Webb and him and Doug freaking Flutie. Like, who cares? They need to overcome their height and everyone can see it, so it's great. You know what? And I don't care how much he gave to the team. A half of a pint glass is still more than a full shot. He's just abysmal. He was half of a player on the floor because he wouldn't play defense.
Well, so is Kyrie. Just that Kyrie is too, FYI. Kyrie's half a player by that definition.
Yeah, but it's much bigger half.
it's a bigger half. That's true. I can't argue with that.
Thanks for the call, Will. So we've actually got about a handful of these type of calls that people don't really like.
Yeah, people still hate Isaiah, huh?
I'm surprised.
I'm definitely surprised.
At its core is the fact that Isaiah liked it here, which is what these fans desperately want Kyrie Irving to do,
yeah.
Right? They want Kyrie Irving to want to be here, and they're crapping all over Isaiah because he wanted to be here.
It's crazy, and I know Celtics fans forget this because Kyrie doesn't want to play in half the games, and he's already sick and tired of showing up to the arena, and he just wants it to be the playoffs. So, like, that's how we think of games now. Isaiah actually wanted to play in the games.
Yeah.
Isaiah actually wanted to be out there and participate, unlike Kyrie.
As much as possible, which is why he played when he was as injured as he was.
Right.
Yeah, and now we crap all over
him. And I don't want it to be revisionist history for the way that I talked about him, because at the time it felt deserved, and he annoyed the hell out of me, especially towards the end. But the way that this team and how Kyrie Irving has acted this season has made me soften on Isaiah Thomas. He gave you max effort night in, night out. I've learned to appreciate that. But here is a tiny carcass I would like to throw to the sports vulture, though, and that is one of Dustin Pedroia. Let's laugh at Pedroia, huh? Who, shocker, isn't going to be ready for the start of the Red Sox season 10 days from today. We'll get to that and more of your phone calls coming up next here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mazz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hopefully, you know, he'll be leading off in Seattle the first game of the season.
Petey says he feels good. He feels good. Our medical reports on him are good. We're still not looking at a 150-game player. We're hopeful that he's a 125-game player at this point. We do feel we have some people that are solid that can fill in. To fill in if he plays 120.
Welcome back. Felger and Mazz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for Mike and Tony today and for most of the week. We've got Marshall Hook alongside as well in my normal spot. So that is Red Sox manager Alex Cora, followed by head of baseball ops Dave Dombrowski, talking about Dustin Pedroia, whether or not he would be ready to start the 2019 campaign. And, well, Alex Cora made the announcement today, Jones, that Pedroia is actually going to start the 2019 season on the injured list.
Weird. What?
Yeah. Shocker.
Yep. Didn't see that coming. By the way, I hate that it's the injured list now, but that's aside. I like the disabled list.
Oh, wait. I didn't even realize. Have they officially changed the name of it?
I think they did.
Oh, you didn't know about this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like a month and a half ago, Major League Baseball made the announcement because they found it insensitive that they wanted to change it because they didn't want to have the correlation of being on the disabled list to being disabled and being insensitive to those that are disabled. So we're going to change it to the injured list. It's the world we live in now.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's on the injured list,
yeah,
which is pretty much where he's resided for the last handful of years. And it's not even because he's hurt, per se. It's because he can't play in consecutive games. He can't play in back-to-back games. And here's what Pedroia had to say. And you love this. We're talking about...
We had this sound.
Talking about the lack of self-awareness on, like, Isaiah and people like this. This guy, the little leader. They've had to hold me back. I'm ready for opening day. They're scared. They want to make sure I follow the right steps to do that and make sure everyone's 100% confident that when I come back. And stay back.
They got to hold me back. So I like the picture in my head that's like Dave Dombrowski just putting a palm out as little DPs just trying, let me at him. You got to hold me back, guys. I'm ready to play.
Yeah, who is that? Yeah. Scrappy Doo?
Yeah.
he's Scrappy Doo out there just trying, let me at him. And I wish he would go away and stay away. Not come back and stay back. I wish he would go away and stay away. And like, I don't think he's a bad player. And I think looking back on his career, I've likened him to like Nomar, where Nomar at the end, it was like toxic and he had to go and he was problematic. But now we look back at Nomar and you can appreciate the career for what it was.
Definitely.
Pedroia's had a great career. He's not a Hall of Famer or anything, but he should probably go into the team Hall of Fame. I acknowledge all of that. He's just become detestable at this point in his career, and they don't need him. They obviously don't need him. And I wonder, considering
what that looks like at second base, whether it's Holt or Nunez and the injuries that he's dealt with,
all those guys might be, those guys just are better than him now, I think.
Holt's not an everyday player, though.
I know.
Just in terms of depth, I think that they do need him, even though I find him incredibly
Dustin
annoying.
Dustin Pedroia is not an everyday player.
Yeah.
But I find, just in
he
terms
like
of depth,
three,
though,
he was hopefully. Like a three-game player last year. Like, I wish they just move on so they could just do something different at the position. Like, they're in this limbo where, like, it's his job and they don't have a full-time guy at second base. They have Holt and they have Nunez and whomever else because it's Pedroia's. They're just keeping the seat warm for Pedroia when he uses the step stool to get up there. But I just, I I wonder if him being around the team after last year, and I know he was technically around the team, but when you're injured, you're kind of out of sight, out of mind. Even if you're there, no one takes you seriously. Now that he's back and he has like a vested interest in the team, or he's potentially back, I think that's something that could drag him down this year. I don't rule that out.
Hook, where are you on Pedre and this team as a whole? Because here we are 10 days from the start of the season in Seattle. I want to gauge your temperature on the 2019 Red Sox, because they're, what is it? They're returning 22 players.
They really made no changes.
No changes, but the bullpen still looks like it's an issue when there's...
Except losing their all-star closer.
Yeah.
Like, that was their big splash in free agency. We're going to go out there and lose our still unsigned all-star closer. So, no, I don't feel great about the bullpen. Do we know who the closer is? Does anyone know who the closer is?
Brazzers has that gross infected toe that he can't get over, so
Matt Barnes today said garbage. He figured out halfway through his performance that he was tipping his pitches. But he fixed it midway
through. Does every guy on this team tip their pitches? Did he say that?
Yes. He said he made an adjustment.
That's so annoying. Why is that everybody's go-to excuse now? Do you ever know maybe you just get hit because you're Matt Barnes and you suck? Like, maybe you weren't tipping pitches, or maybe you were just missing the strike zone because that's what you do. Like, why every time a guy goes through a bad stretch on this team, they tip their pitches?
Yeah.
Like, that's such a crappy built-in excuse. Either that, or they need to figure it out with the pitching coach. Like, solve that problem. Everyone tips their pitches here.
The White Sox, the Rays, they have closers. The Red Sox, the defending World Series champion who won 100-and-whatever games, we don't need a closer. We'll be fine. This is the Chad Fox bullpen. This is closer by committee.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's somebody out there going, duh, that's what you guys said last year. You said their bullpen sucked and you were wrong then. Okay, well, that bullpen had Joe Kelly, and shockingly, that's actually a good thing. He's gone. He's now an L.A. Dodger. It had Craig Kimbrell, who doesn't belong to any team at present, but he doesn't belong to yours. So you tell me, am I supposed to be feeling good about this bullpen? That was very bad for the bulk of the season, very good in the postseason, but very bad for the bulk of the season, and lost two of their most effective pitchers. They're gone. The rest of the team, I'm fine. Like, bringing Steve Pierce back, that's fine. You need some sort of platoon there at first base anyway. You know, I got no problems with that. Nate Eovaldi, you want to talk about an opinion that was bad? I was completely wrong about that guy. I think a lot of people were. He's very good. You brought him back. So that's fine. Like, the team in and of itself last year was very good, and you brought the bulk of it back. But the bullpen was a problem last year, and I get that. It's hard to say it was a problem with a team that won 100 and whatever it was, six games and the World Series. But I still think, you know what, the bullpen's a problem. So
it feels
negligent. I don't love that.
It does feel negligent the way that they've handled it, but it's almost by default because of how bad the American League is. I'm not really that worried as for now. Eventually, I do think it's going to end up biting them in the ass. You know, like, it just feels like, we'll figure it out when it comes to the bullpen, which is not a great approach.
I think
especially for Dombrowski.
Well, right.
You know, like, yeah. And I know their bullpen ultimately, but it was like the perfect, he didn't do anything about it. They just let the thing go out there, and it somehow gelled. It's still amazing that worked last year. Like, that's actually incredible. But he didn't address the problem. He didn't fix the problem. They all locked in at the right time.
Got worse in the offseason. They took what was a problem and then just let the best parts of it walk away. And they're like, no, we're still good.
Yeah.
We're still good. Mm. You know, and I think part of their success last year was a Yankees team that didn't really come together and didn't gel, even though they also won 100 games. If that team that had problems during the season and in who you handily beat a lot, if they come to better, and they, by the way, made lots of changes in the offseason, then your competition's going to be harder as well.
617-779-0985. Got a couple of open lines. You want to talk Sox? Maybe you want to pile on a little Dustin Pedroia as well. Not tough to hold him back. God, I wish I had that sound because I would love to hear the tone. He's just at this point too. Like, that's where I worry about the mix.
I like your scrappy. I like your scrappy dude compared.
Yeah, that, just put your hand out.
That is how he said
back.
It.
You guys gonna hold me back? I'm ready to play. All right, calm down.
In preparation for this, I went and dug up the Sports Illustrated article from 2011. Entitled "The Muddy Chicken Hits It Big," because I remember how little I liked Dustin Pedroia after reading this article. So I'm reviewing it to be reminded of everything that's kind of vaguely unpleasant about him.
The muddy chicken.
We were talking
that
about
story's not funny at all.
The NCAA tournament. Zion Williamson, Steve in Connecticut, with a thought. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I'm convinced that gravity only sort of kind of applies to Zion when I watch him play, because he's built like a brick crap house and he jumps like higher than the backboard, so I'm not really sure what's up with that guy. But about Pedroia too, I feel bad, man. He was like one of my favorite players, and now I agree with this the guy sitting next to you. I don't even know his name, but he needs to go and he needs to stay away. So thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Me or Pedroia? I think he meant Pedroia.
I think he meant Pedroia. I think it's the Dark Knight, Adam Jones. Get it right.
Yeah, come on,
Brandon in Roxbury. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. So there's a lot of hype with Zion Williams. He's a good college player. I want to compare him to Anthony Bennett. Went first in his class. Zion Williams might do the same.
So that's insane. What? Like Anthony Bennett never came out of nowhere, and it was a bad. Actually, I think that ended up being the Giannis draft. But he came out of nowhere. He went to not an off the grid school, but UNLV. Like this guy was the biggest recruit in the country, and went to Duke, and producing the ACC.
I'm saying they have the same playing style.
No, they don't.
The transition. Transition never really went nowhere. He didn't make it in the NBA, so maybe this might be, and you know, he might get all this hype but make it to the NBA and doesn't even produce.
Yeah.
So I just want to know your thoughts between the comparison of Anthony Bennett.
I've been trying to tell you I hate it. I've been trying to tell you that whole phone call that I hate that comparison. So that's what I think of it. It's a terrible, awful, worthless comparison.
Nick in Littleton, we opened up in the first hour talking about the Patriots and whether or not they should trade for a wide receiver. There seems to be a bit of buzz building around that. Bert Breer mentioning it a couple of times in his MMQB column today. There's a column on NBCSports.boston.com. Also from Tom Curran. And also some of the names that are being thrown out there. Sterling Shepard with the New York Giants, who now feels redundant that now they've gone out in free agency and brought in Golden Tate, maybe A.J. Green. Nick in Littleton, you wanted to talk about this. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering what you guys thought about trading for someone more like the Tyler Boyd, John Ross type, a little bit of speed on the wideout. Let Julian open up the middle with the slot. I'll hang up and hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Well, didn't John Ross find a home?
No, I thought they were going to trade. Maybe I missed it. I thought John Ross is still on the Bengals. I'd be on board with taking a flyer on John Ross, but
what am I thinking of? It was the guy that was on the Ravens last year.
Oh, John Brown.
John Brown. That's what I thought it was.
John Ross, I believe, matched Chris Johnson's 40 time at the combine. So the guy can absolutely fly. He's been hurt 2 years in Cincinnati, I want to say. I'd take a flyer on him, but that's like, that's like taking a flyer on Dorsett a couple of years ago. Like, that's not, your roster is not set if you make a move for him. I like Tyler Boyd, too. I don't know if he's available in Cincinnati, but he would be more of like a slot guy.
Derek in the car on Dustin Pedroia. Go ahead, Derek.
So I wanted to call on Pedroia. You know, I always loved Pedroia. I thought he was a great team player. You know, I even went out of my way to get his signed baseball glove, you know, when he was in his prime. But the way that he's acting now and the way that he acts towards the team just completely pisses me off. He's like that douchebag friend you have that grabs your arm and says, hey, hold me back, or I'm going to get him. It just really pisses me off.
No.
And the fact that when it does come to roost, like the year before, when our pitcher went after one of their players and you know, hit him in the box.
Yeah, it was Machado.
Goes, no, that wasn't me. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that was, and
everything's
Derek,
all good.
Yeah, Derek, that was the breaking point for me. That was the worst. Even though the Red Sox and John Farrell were in the wrong, like you can't do that basically undersell, like you undercut your whole team. You look like a terrible teammate. You're at the top of the dugout saying like, no, that's not me. No, if it's a take the line from the wire, if it's a lie, you fight on that lie. You can't just be like, no, I got nothing to do with that. You want to say that after the game and, you know, talk to a player in another dugout. You don't do it mid game. That's
with
a terrible look.
With cameras catching you in front of 35, I mean, what is it, seat at Camden Yards? I don't know, more than 35,000. But, you know, in front of everybody.
Only 15 people were
there. Well, that's a good point. And they're all Red Sox fans. But in front of that whole stadium with cameras locked in, all your teammates are seeing it. And you're like, yeah, no, Manny, I have your back and not these guys. Dustin Pedroia is not the guy who would say, hold me back in a fight. Dustin Pedroia would be the buddy pushing you into the fight. Like, he would be pushing his other buddies into the fight so they could get pummeled.
There was another baseball thing I wanted to touch on quickly right after the Sports Up headlines here with Marshall Hook, and that is there is apparently, clubhouses throughout the league, at least a few, are starting to push back against video games, specifically one video game, specifically Fortnite. I'll tell you about this story coming up right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Marshall Hook. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
He has a mild case of carpal tunnel syndrome.
For what I know, David has played video games his whole life. It seems like Fortnite now is the one everybody's playing.
I like to play Fortnite forever, then blame my numb hand on the cold weather. Let's play Fortnite forever now. Ba-da-da-da. I wanna play Fortnite forever until my hands go numb and I miss my next start. I wanna play Fortnite forever. As soon as we're off the plane, I fire up the Xbox. I wanna play Fortnite forever.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports. Jim Murray and Jones in for the guys for most of this week. So, in case you forgot, considering that it ultimately didn't matter and the Red Sox ended up winning the World Series and David Price actually becomes a postseason hero. Last year in May, Price ended up getting the carpal tunnel. Obviously, kind of an odd injury for a professional athlete. Carpal tunnel usually happens to those that type a lot, you know, your office moms or what have you. And a lot of people, myself included, believe it had to do with his nonstop playing of Fortnite, because David Price would allegedly haul an Xbox around in a backpack and he and his team would play Fortnite during their downtime and on road trips. It's ridiculous. But now, Jones, apparently a few clubhouses have had it with Fortnite, and rightfully so. First, the Blue Jays are now going to be restricting their players playing video games in their gaming time on game days. So they're going to restrict the gaming time on game days. This is like if you have a zitty teenager come home with a bad report card, you can't play the Fortnite and the video games anymore because you suck. Right. Yeah. We're cutting back on video to like Hook. You got to do that with your
Twins lost video games for a million kids, right? As recently as last week. So yeah.
There's a lot of kids there at the Hook household.
Do you know what they did to lose video games?
No.
My twins got in a fight at school with each other.
Really?
So the teachers called us like, yeah, your kids got in a fight with each other, like a knockdown, swinging punches in the middle of the playground.
Nice.
With each other.
Nice.
So. But yeah, they lost the video games.
Yeah, so it's like that.
So yes, there's repercussions. You're going to lose the video games when you do something bad, like not paying attention and losing a baseball game. So this was the Athletics' John Lott tweeted out today that the general manager of the Blue Jays, Charlie Montoyo, was set to impose pregame curfew on playing video games in the clubhouse this season. Some players suggest there was too much Fortnite last year. So it's not even coming from management. There's other players that are looking around the clubhouse and being like, enough, you dorks.
Right.
Stop playing this thing and put it down and pay attention.
Get in the cage. Shag a few flies. Why are we playing Fortnite? And I know baseball players have a ton of downtime, but still.
Also, according to Sportsnet Canada, the decision was player-driven, and the athletes broached the subject with the GM during a meeting this spring. So, yeah, there's some pushback here. And also, we have this. This was on Deadspin and has gone viral today. Carlos Santana, the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, this one I find more interesting because of the collapse that team had last year. Carlos Santana of the Phillies grabbed a baseball bat and smashed up the Phillies clubhouse TV so his teammates couldn't play Fortnite. His teammates would apparently play Fortnite as the game was going on, an act that Santana found disrespectful. You think?
Wow.
And people forget this, and who the hell really cares about the Phillies around here, but I thought this was like an underrated storyline in baseball last year. The Phillies were first in the National League East. The first week of August, they were 64-49 and then completely collapsed. Completely collapsed. You mean to tell me the Fortnite didn't play into it? And Santana, did he just have this kind of blow up for no reason? No. Their head was half in the game because they're playing this stupid video game.
It's like, I mean, it's not that different than chicken and beer, right? It's like middle of the game on your day. It's probably pitchers on their day off or guys who aren't in the lineup, leaving the dugout, making their way up the back stairs and playing Fortnite mid-game.
Oh, that's so bad.
That's awful.
Like, I get, you know, there's part of me that actually, I don't mind it all that much when it's downtime. It's certainly better than
like
going
before
out
the game, you mean? Or after the game in your hotel room or whatever.
You're on a road trip. It's certainly a hell of a lot healthier and better than going out and chasing skirts and getting loaded. You want to be a dork and play video games in your hotel? Like, fine. To do it mid-game? Are you kidding me?
That's like chicken and beer.
Unbelievable. So I would love to see this actually go viral throughout Major League Baseball, and specifically here. And I know it didn't matter. They won the World Series. But come on. Like, it's good to know that this isn't just from management and general managers of these baseball clubs. It's the players themselves. They're like, enough with this.
Well, but it's a fair question for the Red Sox, right? Like, even though they won last year, okay, other teams are restricting it. Like, is that something the Red Sox are going to do this year?
I probably should. Well, considering the long list of players on this team that apparently love to do this, I don't know if there's going to be any pushback from any specific players. Maybe the little leader. I don't like it, guys. We should be out there. Come on, hold me back.
I'm taking grounders on my knees.
Chris Sale knows his way around a pair of scissors, I hear. He could go in and cut the cord.
I guess Sale would call them out,
actually. Cut some cords. That would get the job done the same way.
Yeah, with scissors cutting the cords, that'd be better than Santana smashing TVs.
So there you go. Pushback against Fortnite. That happened pretty quick, too. And you were saying, we were talking about this a little bit earlier during a commercial break. Are your kids, like, now over it anyway?
Yeah, so I have a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old who, particularly the 12-year-old, were heavy, heavy into Fortnite. Like, that's all he wanted to do when he wasn't in school, and I'm sure when in school he wanted to do it too. Like every day, all the time, anytime I saw him, he was playing Fortnite. He was spending what little money he earned on upgrading crap. No, completely doesn't play it anymore. Like I asked, Fortnite? No. And I was talking.
So it's like uncool now.
Saw some neighborhood kids. They're not on it. And I think this is, you know, like Facebook started with something that kids were doing.
Yep.
And then when all of us old people got on it, the kids are like, well, we're out.
Tom Brady got on Facebook. We're all
I don't want to be on the same social media thing as grandma, so I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I think Fortnite's the same thing. Too many adults moved in. Like, dad comes home. Come on, Billy, let's go play Fortnite. And they're like, nah. I'm good. Thanks.
It's like when Milhouse,
I'm out of here.
Milhouse gets sick of Bone Storm, and then he does, I'm playing with Cup and Ball. It's a random old Simpsons reference. Okay, long commercial-free segment coming up.
Jim.
Yeah, there you go, Jimmy. I know you appreciate it. Long commercial-free segment coming up next. We'll get right to your phone calls and everything we've touched on so far. The little leader and how he's not going to be ready to start the season. The Celtics, Isaiah Thomas's return. The Patriots, should they trade for a wide receiver? We'll get to you coming up next here on Felger and Mass.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, speak.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Crazy Town Butterfly. Oh, this brings me back to a terrible time. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for Mike and Tony for most of this week. You don't have to turn it up, Jimmy.
Was there anybody you would, like, didn't Fred notoriously, like, refuse to play, like, Linkin Park?
Limp Bizkit.
Was there anybody that you wouldn't play?
No, because I'm a lapdog who's afraid of getting fired at any moment because that's the radio industry, you see, Jones. So, no, I would sit there, and when I worked at the now-defunct WFNX, I would come out of Butterfly by Crazy Town, be like, that's a great song right there. 101.7 WFNX, Crazy Town Butterfly, what's up? Yeah, you can hear me spin it sometimes at Axis, too, Saturday nights for X Night, and then I would want to go home and take a shower to wash the scum off of myself for having to be such a sellout during the day.
It's good lyrics.
Yeah.
Strong lyrics on that song.
And he ended up on with Dr. Drew's Celebrity Rehab, or whatever the hell that show that used to be.
I did not know that, but that's not shocking.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Shifty Shell Shock, well, I believe was his name. Yeah, that poor man who ended up on that Ghouls show. How many people died on that show? Oh,
Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, no, look that up. Wow. When he did that run of that show and how many years it was, 5-6 years, I think he had that many deaths, too. Yeah, putting people like that. You're trying to go through their struggles on television, you ghoul. Okay, everything we've touched on thus far, even if you want to chime in on Crazy Town, one of the worst songs of the early 2000s, the butt rock era. 617-779-0985. Dan in Tewksbury, what we were just talking about, though, the pushback with some MLB clubhouses on video gaming, specifically against Fortnite. Go ahead, Dan.
What's up, my man? Hey, Marshall, I got to tell you, your kid gave up Fortnite to play Apex Legends. So it's not that they don't care anymore, and they just moved on to the next thing.
Is that what Hayward plays?
I think so.
That sounds familiar.
I watch Hayward's streams. I'm not going to lie to you, but I don't think he's playing Apex.
But is that the hot new game in the streets, Dan?
I think it is what Hayward plays.
Yeah, that's the one that everybody's playing. And if I can, on a sports topic, mm-hmm. just wanted to touch on this. So a couple weeks ago, and I listen to you guys every day, I still haven't heard anything on it. But Ovechkin, the Capitals, they were in a shootout. And Ovechkin was on his penalty shot, and the goalie threw the stick at him. They called it no goal. They reviewed. You know, the referees went and did their thing, and they said it was no goal. While they were talking about it, Toronto came down, and Toronto rang the bell. Uh-huh. And Toronto said, listen, we need to talk about this. They got it right. Toronto took care of business, and Toronto said, this is a goal. The goalie threw the stick. This is how it's going to be.
All right, so what ended up happening? Let's get the Cliff Notes version.
All right, sorry. But basically, Toronto came down and said, it's a goal. Toronto rang the bell, called the referee, said, it's a goal. And that's exactly what the NFL should be doing.
Oh, God, I'll never get that minute and a half back. My apologies to the audience that had to sit through the rest
you know
of that
what?
Show. I figured I'd give them some time.
After hearing that, I am surprised no one else is talking about that. Yeah. I'm surprised. I wonder why that isn't being talked about all over the country today and not being discussed in greater detail. It's a good point by the caller.
My son's playing NBA 2K19, so whatever that thing he thought he was playing is, he's wrong about that, too.
What's the other one, League of Legends? Or is that what he just said? I don't know. There's
Apex
some
Legends.
Apex Legends.
I looked it up. That was the game that Hayward was playing on Dr. Disrespect when his wife came in and yelled at him.
Time for one more game? No.
Mike in Rockport on Isaiah Thomas and his return with the Nuggets tonight. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Jim Jones? So, Isaiah Thomas, tonight what you're going to see is he's going to get probably one of the biggest ovations, standing ovations, you know, that since Paul Pierce, obviously since Paul Pierce, but it's something that Kyrie Irving as a Celtic will never get. When you look at that trade, if Isaiah Thomas never got hurt, then we'd be looking at that trade completely different. If he was playing at, you know, even a similar level, averaging 22 a game, you know, somewhere else, and Kyrie Irving's being what he is being right here, you'd be saying that was one of the worst trades Danny Ainge has ever made.
Okay, I mean, I think Danny knew he was damaged goods. Let me ask you this, because you can't get away from him being hurt. Himmelsbach, in the article you referenced earlier, Isaiah said, I'm not, something along the lines of, I wouldn't rule out a return to Boston, right? I wouldn't rule it out. Now, this is Isaiah talking, and who knows, right? If they lost Kyrie, would you hate the idea of a flyer on Isaiah?
I would look at it as a novelty act at this point, because I just don't think he's going to ever be the same player. Like, at this, we're so far removed from that hip surgery and him coming back. Like, I don't
think he will be either, but, like, he signed a $2 million deal with the Nuggets. I would be down with a flyer. If you lost Kyrie, and we're talking really short money, I'd be down with a flyer to bring him back and see if you can rekindle any of that in this system playing for Brad Stevens. I'd be down
maybe
for that.
Maybe a backup point guard, whether Kyrie Irving is here or not. I mean, at this point, it's not like he has lots of options. It's not like, I mean, he's playing for a team right now where they're literally, he's not playing. He's on the bench. He's not even part of the rotation. So suddenly being a bench player in Boston might be an upgrade to that.
And if you're like, if I had to wager on it, there's like a 2% chance of it working out. But what if that worked out? I think there's worse ways to spend money in free agency than a flyer on him.
Yeah, and having read that, I almost wonder if he meant it in a way like, I wouldn't rule it out because there's been a thaw. Like, because he's, you know, there's obviously, you
yeah,
read this
yeah,
column,
there's
been now conversations between him and Danny Ainge, and, you know, he doesn't hate him anymore.
Right.
He understands it's just a business decision. So I wonder if he just meant it in terms of a business decision. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. No, like not like he's telling you he thinks it's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's just, they've kissed and made up. They've gotten over it. He's not pouting anymore.
I just think he's cooked.
I likewise think he's cooked. But again, if it's $2 million, let him, like, I don't know, let him come in here and battle it out with Rozier or something like that for that point guard spot. I don't hate that.
Jason in Hyannis on IT. Go ahead, Jason.
Honestly, so IT coming back, yes, that's nice. He did everything. He had an exceptional year. The sisters thing, yes, tough. Amazing. But the team that's coming in right now, Denver Nuggets, their record right now, what are they, 1-2 in the West?
I think they're second.
This is a good team.
I think they're second in the West, yeah.
I've said it 14 times in the headlines today, but sure.
Is it second?
They're the fourth best record in the NBA, just one game back of Golden State for the top spot in the West.
Well, go ahead, Jason.
Well, because everybody's thinking Golden State's always number one. But this is a good test for them. Even though I know it's at home. Even though I know it's at home. But if they come out and they show grits and all that crap every freaking Celtics fan wants to spew all over green crap, all that. But if they come out and they do pull out a nice little win and it looks like good basketball, passing it around, people are getting their shots. It doesn't matter who gets the points. But if it looks like team ball, they got something rolling right now. They got something rolling.
And Jason, I generally agree. And I got barked at by the Dark Knight himself earlier today when I actually gave them credit for that ugly, hideous win on Saturday.
Because
this team a few weeks ago would have lost that game. And I think this team a few weeks ago would have lost the game on Thursday night against that frisky Sacramento team. When it started to get away, I mean, they were down 17 at one point in the first half, and then they're down 13 or whatever the hell it was in the third quarter. It's like, oh, my God. Brad Stevens too late with the timeout. But they did show me a little bit more balls, some intestinal fortitude, which he did not see prior. I thought Thursday, the other thing that was encouraging, this is what sucked about Hayward getting concussed in that game on Saturday. He's been way more aggressive. I thought he was awesome in the fourth quarter of that game
on
Thursday.
The Kings game?
Yeah.
No, he was. At the beginning of the fourth quarter, the end of the third and beginning of the fourth, he was like, after Jalen hit all those threes, he was a big reason they won that game. I agree.
So I think what the caller's point was, Jason, was, you know, maybe too much is being made about Isaiah Thomas's return. We should really just be focusing on the matter at hand and who they're playing tonight, and that they really need to look good against some really good competition in the Denver Nuggets tonight.
True. You know what I totally forgot about? I forgot that Murray went off for 48 against them, and the Celtics got all pissy that he took a shot at the end of the game
and chucked it into the stands.
Kyrie like hucked the basketball into the stands. I completely forgot about that. I just, Greeny was wrote about that, and I had forgotten. So yeah, maybe the Celtics have a little like extra edge to him, or Kyrie has a little extra edge to him with Murray on the other side tonight. So that'd be interesting to see.
It's the Celtics and Denver Nuggets, and of course it's you're gonna get that first quarter timeout during that it's the first timeout, or it's in between? It's the first timeout in the first quarter where Isaiah Thomas is gonna get the video montage tonight over at the Garden. Sean Greeny, Cedric Maxwell gonna be on the call here tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. All right, we're going to get the Sports Hub headlines here from Marshall Hook, and we're going to come back and reset our Patriots topic, which we started the show off with today. You willing to move the first pick, maybe a couple of picks, for a big-name wide receiver, considering the Patriots aren't doing anything at that position in the offseason so far, at least in free agency? Do you want to see the Pats trade for a wide receiver? We'll get to that right after the headlines here with Marshall. It is Felger and Mazza, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.